You're listening to the voice of the people on Preston FM 103.2. With me, the Sputler, and me, Paulo Era. Paul. Paul. Paul seems to have disappeared, so for now it's down to me. Oh dear. In this program I'm looking into the issues of disability, hate crime, and the launch of the Learning Disabilities Champion Scheme. Disabilities is an umbrella term, covering impairments, activity limitations, and participation restrictions. An impairment is a problem in body function or structure. An activity limitation is a difficulty encountered by an individual in executing a task or action, while a participation restriction is a problem experienced by an individual in involvement in life situations. Thus, disability is a complex phenomenon, reflecting an interaction between features of a person's body and features of the society in which he or she lives. An individual may also qualify as disabled if he/she has had an impairment in the past or is seen as disabled based on a personal or group standard or norm. Such impairments may include physical, sensory, and cognitive or developmental disabilities. Mental disorders, also known as psychiatric or psychosocial disability, and various types of chronic disease may also be considered qualifying disabilities. A disability may occur during a person's lifetime or may be present from birth. A physical impairment is any disability which limits the physical function of limbs or fine or gross motor ability.
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2. The voice of the people, for the people, by the people.
It's Friday the 21st of May, and here I am at Royal Preston Hospital, and I'm talking to... Would you like to introduce yourselves?
My name's Steve O'Brien, Head of Patient Experience at Lancashire Teaching Hospitals Trust.
I'm Bernadette Oakes, Community Nurse from the Learning Disability Team here in Preston.
I'm Mark O'Farrell, Substitute of Rep at Disability Quality North.
I'm Helen McConderkey, I'm based at Disability Equality Northwest, and I support reps including Mark on the Learning Disability Partnership Board.
And the reason that I'm interviewing you today really is because I believe there's a Health Champions launch coming up, is there?
There certainly is. Maybe we need to just share a little bit of history in terms of how we got here and why we're having the actual launch.
Yeah.
For over 10 years, the learning disability team from the local PCT has been working very closely with Lancashire Teaching Hospitals to promote awareness of the needs of people with learning disabilities and improving access to healthcare.
Okay, yeah.
Working very closely with Steve, we have decided that the time is right to actually promote the learning disability champions, who are senior nurses or managers within Lancashire Teaching Hospitals, to actually promote their role and also to promote the hospital passport. And I don't know if Steve wants to add something
there. I think it's fair to say that here at the Trust, obviously, the experience of patients when they come into hospital, of all patients, is very important to us. And this is part of that work, really, to try and improve the patient experience where possible. And what we do know is that where patients have access the support of the champions within the Trust and they've used the support tools that we've provided, their experience in hospital is much better than when they don't access that support.
Right.
So part of this launch is really to increase awareness across all of the community of what support is available in the Trust and how people can access it when they have to come into a hospital.
Okay. And you mentioned passport. What's the health passport?
Right, the health or hospital passport, as it's known locally, is actually a tool that we've actually gained permission from another PCT within in the United Kingdom, which is a traffic light system, a very simple 3-page document that highlights the really important information that is required to ensure a good delivery of care for the person with a learning disability. So you have the red sheet that has all the essential information. You have the second page, which is the amber sheet, which are things that are important to that person, again, to maintain as much familiarity and continuity of care for that person. And then a green and final page, which are things that are important to them, things that they like. So for some people with learning disabilities, they're not able to verbally tell us what they need. So this information is even more important.
Right.
And we would be asking carers to provide that information to the hospital, again, to ensure a good delivery of service and care for the person.
So this is something that the patient brings in when they come to the hospital, and then it's available for reception to see and things like this, or is it just primarily for doctors and nurses?
Primarily it's for the immediate caregivers, so yes, so medical and nursing staff, but any other allied healthcare professionals who have a direct input into the care of that person during their hospital visit.
Right. Okay.
The launch is very much promoting collaborative work, so we're aware that a number of families locally may not know about the hospital passport, so there will be events taking place within the local town of Chorley and Leyland, but also in the city centre at Preston, promoting obviously the role of the champions, but as importantly the hospital passport and how individuals and families can prepare that document before they come into hospital.
Right, I see. And when is this taking place, and have you got certain venues that this is taking place at?
Yes, well, if maybe Steve tells you a little bit about the hospital venues, and then I can share with you what's happening in the various towns.
Yeah.
Well, we have a series of poster presentations that are planned for the week beginning the 14th of June on both the Royal Preston Hospital and the Chorley Hospital site. So they will be primarily within the main entrances, outpatient areas, but also within the staff canteens as well, because we want to reach our staff and make sure that they're fully aware of what we're doing too.
Sunshine. You know, sometimes sunshine turns to rain.
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2, the voice of the people.
Well, just firstly to add on to Steve's hospital presentations, there will be community nurses and other learning disability service providers, both voluntary and paid, manning the stands to provide additional information and advice to anybody who would like to know more about services locally.
So they're actually going to come to the hospital and do that?
Yes.
Right, excellent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of the community stands, we have very successfully made arrangements with the St George's Shopping Centre, MAL, as it's now called, and we'll be having a daily manned display stand between the times of 10 until 4, Monday to Friday. And then on the Saturday, we've managed to obtain the Citizen Zone vehicle, which I believe is going to be outside the Harris Museum on the Flag Market, again between the times of 10 until 4. They will be manned both by service providers, but also with service users and hopefully family members as well, to offer additional information advice.
Right,
we also at the hospital have a series of training events for staff as well that's been provided by REACT, that is the local learning disabilities advocacy group.
Right, and what does that entail? I believe there's a DVD, is there available?
There's a DVD being produced as well for staff as a follow-up, so that will provide ongoing information to those staff who aren't able to access the training events. In terms of the content of the training, I think
it's about personal experience, both positive and negative, from actual adults who have learning disabilities that have accessed hospital services.
Right.
So they will be sharing that with staff during those lunchtime sessions. I just to add as well, in terms of the community events.
Yeah.
Chorley and South Ribble are, as we speak, making arrangements with local superstores to hopefully have events taking place throughout the week, Monday to Friday. But it's a matter of watch this space. Hopefully we'll be able to let you know nearer the time where they will be held.
Okay. And have service users been involved in this whole process of organising the week and...
We've had a series of launch preparation meetings, and yes, service users have been very actively involved in that and have been given their views on what they want to see.
Right. Okay, that's good. And we have Mark, I believe you're a service user. Have you been involved in this process?
Yes, I've been to Manchester at and then the meetings here.
Right. And you voiced your opinion and...
Yes.
And have you been listened to?
Yes, I think so. I've had personal experiences in hospitals.
Okay.
Around the place.
Okay, I might talk to you later about that, if that's
yes.
Okay. And you're joined with Helen. Helen, have you been involved in the process?
Yeah, we have our service user network group, which is also a locacy advocacy group, which is called the Preston Face-to-Face Learning Disability Service User Network. And Bernadette was kind enough to come along to one of the meetings and tell the people that come along a little bit about what's happening. And quite a few of the people that came to that meeting have volunteered to actually go on the information stalls throughout the week in the MAL and in Royal Preston.
Excellent.
So really looking forward to it. It's going to be really good. And I mean, a lot of the service users that come to the meeting have voiced their concerns about going into hospitals.
Right.
And so I think this passport's going to make it a lot easier.
Okay. Mark, what are the main issues when you go into a hospital? What are the major problems that you face when you go into hospital?
Main problems I face is like are the rooms. The rooms big enough for the I've had issues with about too many people around the bed at one time and
right.
Things like that.
So you're on about the actual wards that you're in, the bed wards.
Yes. basically when doctors come round, because they have like students with them.
Right. So do you feel you're being encroached upon, yeah, do you, when they come to visit you?
It's a bit daunting.
Right. Have you got a passport yourself?
Yes.
And did you have that last time you went to hospital?
No.
Did you have that?
No.
So this is a new initiative.
This, yeah.
And you think that's going to be useful?
Hopefully, yes.
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2. The voice of the people, for the people, by the people.
I think a lot of the service users that come to the face-to-face group have said one of the big issues is with doctors using far too much jargon, using very technical medical words, not speaking clearly enough.
Right.
So hopefully that, obviously that's been addressed in the training that's being provided by REACT. And hopefully it's going to be a lot better.
So have you gathered information from your users at your service user groups?
Yeah, I say when Bernadette came along, she asked the group for kind of, Bernadette's putting together kind of a checklist for GPs when they're referring someone with a learning disability to the hospital, and the users at the meeting came up with a list of priorities that GPs need to take into consideration when referring to somebody. For example, there might be issues with waiting times. A person with a learning disability might get very agitated if they have to wait,
right,
if they go into clinics. So that's something that may have to be taken into consideration.
Okay.
And it's just a checklist for GPs to follow when,
right,
referring somebody to the hospital.
Well, that's understandable. I mean, just anyone going to a waiting room or,
yeah,
to see a doctor, it's nice to know what's going on, isn't it, to be informed.
Yeah, like with some people it'll be the fact that if they have to wait they get very agitated so they'll have to go in straight away, but with other people it would just be keeping them informed of what's happening and, you know, letting them know that they haven't been forgotten.
Right. Okay, and so the launch is on the 14th of June, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and I believe the week after that, is there a launch for Learning Disabilities Week?
That's the week after. That's,
yeah,
the week beginning the 22nd, I think, and that's Learning Disability Awareness Week.
Right. And you're involved in that?
Yeah, the launch for that week is going to be in the Guildhall foyer,
right,
and Disability Equality, who I work for, are going to have an information stall, and the Service User Network,
yes,
is going to be involved as well. The Partnership Board reps are going to come down and help me out,
right,
with that stall, and all our information is going to be there about the press and face-to-face group,
right,
and the other services that we offer at Disability Quality.
Okay, and is this something that Steve and Bernadette, are you going to be involved in that week?
Yes, to some degree. It's interesting that the actual theme for Learning Disability Awareness this year is actually health and improving access to healthcare. So actually,
right,
our event is setting the scene for the following week, and I'm hoping that the information that we've shared with the Learning Disability Champions launch can actually be repeated to some degree the following week.
Okay.
Yes.
And at your displays, obviously there's going to be information. Is there information that people can take away?
Yes. We've published a brochure pack that basically has a calling card with a contact number, so anybody coming into hospital with learning disabilities can ring in advance to arrange for contact with one of the learning disabilities champions who will,
mm-hmm,
support them, hopefully before admission and through that hospital episode. And in addition, there will be copies of the passports within that brochure pack as well,
right,
for people to take away.
Excellent. And are there any freebies going on?
We're hoping there'll be some freebies, yes.
Right.
You've actually just met us after our hopefully last working group meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we're hoping to purchase a number of goods that will support the actual Learning Disability Champions Week and then carry on.
Okay.
So,
what sort of percentage of the staff are actually trained as champions?
We've got an ever-growing number of staff. Exact numbers I'm not sure as a proportion, but certainly that number is growing and tends to be senior nursing staff who are at the coalface, but we are making great inroads now with training of medical staff as well, and we started a training programme for doctors. So the message is growing, and the skilled staff are increasing in numbers, so better able to support care directly at the point at which the care is being received.
If I could just add on the back of what Steve has just shared with you, training's been offered to Lancashire Teaching for actually just under 10 years.
Okay.
So a large number of staff have accessed training, but to different levels.
Right.
The Champions training is the much more in-depth awareness programme that we deliver. But I would say that a large proportion of staff have over the years accessed the Learning Disability programme.
Am I right in thinking, Bernadette, that the training for learning disabilities has been incorporated into the actual course for doctors? It's actually gone on the prospectus at the university.
It's not actually on the university.
Yeah.
It's actually the doctors who are employed within Lancashire Teaching Hospitals, but they are the first year doctors, and yes, we're most definitely on their programme.
Yeah.
And as of next year, we'll be on the second year programme for the doctor's training, which is a fantastic initiative that Lancashire Teaching have taken on board. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Okay. And do you think that obviously this initiative that you've taken, do you think this is going to be adopted nationwide?
Well, we would like to think so. We do believe that the steps we've taken in partnership to try and improve the experience of patients with learning disabilities should be adopted nationwide. There is awareness across the country of the work that's happened here and some acknowledgement of that work in some of the official government documents, so that's reassuring to note.
Obviously we have some music involved in our show, so have you got any particular tunes or songs that you'd like to be aired?
I love soul music.
Soul music?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, just, yeah.
Are we Franklin, this sort of stuff?
Yeah, Alexander O'Neill.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
Super.
Steve, for you?
Well, a bit of soul's all right with me as well, so I will go along with that.
Okay, so it's a soulful. Mark, what kind of music would you like to hear?
A bit of Queen?
Mm. Okay. Not Killer Queen, that might be an app to...
And the songs I thought was We Are Champions.
Oh,
Champions.
No, then,
excellent.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's a good choice.
See where you're coming from there. And Helen?
I say I'm a bit of a rock chick as well, so anything Queen, Bon Jovi, Bryan Adams is great with me. Yeah.
Right, excellent. Okay, so just a reminder, the launch is on the 14th of June, and it's in Chorley and Preston, is that correct?
And Leyland. Yeah.
And then the week beginning the 21st or the 22nd is the Learning Disabilities Week.
Yeah, week beginning the 21st, sorry. Yeah.
Okay, I'd just like to thank you very much for your time and your patience.
Thank you.
Okay.
My dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime, and bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my shouts and kicks in my face, but I come through.
I need to go home.
Try.
listening to Preston FM on 103.2, the voice of the people.
Disability rights movement. The disability rights movement, led by individuals with disabilities, began in the 1970s. This self-advocacy is often seen as largely responsible for the shift toward independent living and accessibility. The term, independent living, was taken from 1959 California legislation which enabled people who had acquired a disability due to polio to leave hospital wards and move back into the community with the help of cash benefits for the purchase of personal assistance with the activities of daily living.
Hi, so here we are. I'm here with David Wood. It's the 19th of May, 2010. It's a nice, sunny Friday.
Yeah,
Wednesday. Nice and sunny. David, do you have a disability?
Mild disability.
Yeah, how would you categorise that disability? What would you say it is?
I'm not quite sure.
Right.
I just call it mild.
Okay, and you have diabetes as well, do you?
Yeah, diabetes, right. 71.
Right, okay. And what do you do?
I go to the present day service. During the week, I go to a library and book in for computer course.
Right.
And on the Monday, when we have network meetings, we have L&L with network meetings, and also we have a special meeting about the central partnership board.
Right, okay.
For the reps, what I involved in Preston Day Central.
You are a rep, aren't you?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that you do you talk to other users on there?
We talk to people with disability if they're not happy about the day services.
Okay. And are they mainly people with learning disabilities? Or all kinds of disabilities?
All kinds of disability.
Okay. And as a rep, what do you do on the partnership?
On the partnership board, we speak out on behalf of people with disability.
Right. Excellent. I'm just going to ask you some general questions. So, have you ever been involved in what they're calling hate crime?
We are involved in hate crime with the PAC meetings on the Monday. We talk about that in the PAC meetings, about hate crime. And
so, do you talk to the police about that as well?
We do. We talked about them and they talk. We've been hearing about it on the news just recently.
Right.
And all about hate crime and
have you ever been involved in hate crime? Has anyone ever?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, that's good. Have you had any health problems recently?
Yes, I have health problems. I had an ulcer and infection in my body.
Right.
And a lot have been ill. I've been in Southport in March.
In Southport Hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that like?
Fantastic. Nurses are brilliant and doctors were brilliant, but except that now we can hear patients making noises and we can't get a sleep.
Okay.
That needs to be sorted out.
Right. And how did they treat you?
Brilliant. They treat us very well and treat me very well.
And did they know that you had a little disability? Did they know that?
They know that I've got mild disability.
Right. And did they treat you any differently, do you think?
They treat me normal patients in the ward.
Right.
And they do a really good job.
Okay. And then I believe you went to Preston Hospital.
Yeah, we did.
So what was that like?
Preston is brilliant. Again, the nurses look after me and again, when I went on the ward from number one room to ward, we can hear some ladies, shouting,
right.
And we can't get to sleep again.
Yeah.
We had to, the rest of the patients told the nurses about it. They had to move a bit further on.
Right, okay.
So we can hear,
And I remember I came to visit you, didn't I?
Yeah.
And like that wall, was there only like six beds in there?
Six beds in there, and it's very full.
Yeah. But that's quite good, because I don't know if you remember, like the old days, the old wards used to have about 20 or 30 beds.
Yeah, they did.
So you can imagine what the noise would have been like then.
Like then, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and did you had something called a medical passport, didn't you?
But passport for the health, take about all your health needs and things, tell you about your health needs, like diabetes.
Right.
What things you do, we got all that in the passport, so the nurses can have a look.
So do they keep that on the bottom of your bed so they know?
Yeah, they don't, so they can have a look in the folder or doctors can have a look.
Okay. And, you know, when you see your doctor, when you go to your GP,
yeah.
What's he like or she like? What?
He's a very good Dr. Patel. He's very good with me.
Right. Do you have any problems or issues with him?
No.
So I presume you've been going there for quite a while.
Quite a long time, yeah.
And he knows who you are and how you are.
Yeah. Special tablets to solve it.
Right.
And I'm still taking them, the tablet to solve my ulcer.
Right.
Down, and also I got an infection in the hospital.
Okay.
And if it spotted out as well underneath a camera.
Right. Because you were in hospital for quite a few weeks.
Eight weeks.
8 weeks?
Yeah.
That's quite a long time.
Yeah.
And did you get bored in hospital or was it alright?
No, alright. Watch TV. Except the TV, when you buy the TV for £10, it's expensive.
So you have to pay to watch TV then?
Yeah. Cost me nearly £50.
Right.
£10 a time.
Right, that's quite expensive, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Dear. And like you've only been out of hospital, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah. Came out 6th of May, election.
Right. Did you vote, by the way?
Yeah.
All right, I don't want to know who you voted for.
I'm not telling you.
How did you find the voting process? Was that right?
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah?
Very good. I know which to vote for, general election and the council election.
Yeah.
So I know how to vote.
Now, 14th of June is the Learning Disabilities Health Week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Have you been involved in this?
Yeah, we got ourselves involved on the stalls and helping them out.
Right.
And Ellen said she would give us some more details.
Okay, yeah. That's to come up,
when we receive it.
And have you been involved in the process of helping, making it work? Because you've been to some meetings at the hospital.
Yeah, we have. And Steve been to hospital, tell how the passport works. And also the health week, they're going to launch the passport for people with disability.
Right.
So they can have a passport when they go in.
So this is like the passport you've got.
Yeah.
But they're going to give it to everyone.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, all the passport does is make nurses and doctors aware what your condition is.
Yeah.
How you like to be treated, what you don't like, what you do like.
Yeah.
That's good. And then, the 21st of June is
the Disability Week.
Yeah, are you getting involved in that?
Yeah, I'm going to help one of the ladies with her son to send all the letters out for prices, all the shops.
Okay.
And we're going to do that. Not so. I've seen her when she came to see me in the hospital.
Yeah.
But I've not seen her since when I came out.
Right.
So we need to talk about. We need to see her. Talk about what, you know, what we're going to do.
Okay.
About sending letters out in town and do that. Let shops doors. And we got leaflets today to telling us about Disability Week.
Right. Good.
Everybody knows about that, don't you?
Right, so you think that's going to be a good week then?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And don't you, I think you used to do some work at the Preston Preston FM?
Yeah. I want to do some more work at Preston FM.
Right. And what kind of stuff are you doing at Preston FM?
We did some documentary about war, about people getting injured by war.
Oh, right.
And injured by bombs going on ships.
Is this the Second World War?
The Falklands War.
Oh, the Falklands War.
Yeah. I talked to Simon Weston on the phone.
Right.
Radio. We made ourselves a radio documentary.
Who's Simon Weston?
He was a chap on a ship at Falklands when a bomb dropped on him.
Okay.
And he was lucky to get out and he's got all burns on his face.
Ah, right.
You've seen him in paper, so... Right.
And was that good? Did you learn stuff?
We learned a lot of stuff, and my friend, she did some interviews about landmines, special, right. And she said it was a bit upsetting for her when she did the part to the interview part, and we put it all together. And Darren's got the documentary.
Right.
If you want to listen to it.
Okay.
Darren's got it.
And do you think there's more people with disabilities now than there was a while?
I think there is more people with disability.
And do you think some of that's caused by wars?
No, but when they've been born.
You think a lot more people are born with disabilities now?
Yeah, and more with, include more people getting injured in wars, they're coming with disability. There'll be more people with disability now.
And because people are living longer as well, and they're getting older, aren't they? So there's more disabilities that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you seem quite a cheerful chap.
Oh, yeah.
So what sort of hobbies have you got?
I've got lots of hobbies. I've got all the DVDs. I'm a big fan of Doctor Who, Star Trek, all the different programmes I like to watch.
Right.
I've got me on Sky TV, HD, all the stuff. Involved, like going on holidays, going away, that sort of thing, and I enjoyed. And I've been with a family placement scheme, and got a friend called Denise. We like brothers and sister, you know. We had a good laugh between us.
Yeah.
So I know her well, and she knows me well, so we got on okay.
So what's a family placement scheme? What does that involve?
People like me who want to move out to my mum's and live with somebody else.
Right, okay. And are they classed as carers or just...
Carers. The class as carers.
So they have to have knowledge of caring, yeah?
Yeah.
So you couldn't just go to any family?
No, just like carers looking after me. I've been there since 2000.
Right.
About 10 years. 10 years or more.
Yeah, maybe 10 years. And you enjoy living there, yeah? Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, I think I've sort of run out of questions.
Thank you very much.
Have you got anything else you'd like to say?
Nope.
No? All right, I'd like to thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2. The voice of the people. We'll be right back.
But forever after I ain't what it's all packed up to be. Yeah, I had a taste. You were my fantasy. But I almost lost my faith when I hit reality. I don't need no guru to tell me what to do. Found a home in me. My suitcase and guitar are my only family. I've tried to need someone like I needed me. Well, I opened up my heart, but all I did was bleed. I don't need no lover just to get it through. Oh yeah, they don't make no band-aid that's gonna cover my bruise. Come on, come on, come on, give me something for the pain.
It's Friday, 21st of May, and I'm at Disability Equality Northwest. And I have with me Mr. Mark O'Farrell and Helen McConaughey. Hello.
Hello.
Right, where should we start? Mark, do you classify yourself as having a disability?
Yeah.
And what kind of disability would you say it was?
Moral and disability and physical.
And physical, so is that your mobility?
Yeah. My main disability is my walking.
Right, okay. Do you use a stick or any aid or
not? If I use a stick, it usually gets in the way of walking.
Right. Okay, and I believe you have some kind of bus pass, do you?
Yes.
Could you explain what that is?
It's all you do is like apply for a nail card, at the temple, all you do is like bring like ID.
Yeah.
ID to the temple and like take your form in, fill your form in and like £10 think it is for a number of years and like give that to him and then you just wait for the
They drop it off.
Yeah.
What does that entitle you to? Do you get cheaper bus fares?
You get like 50p up to afternoon. 50p then up to afternoon in the morning, then free for most of the day.
Alright. And is that anywhere in Preston?
Yes.
Can you go outside of Preston on?
You can go outside Preston to Greater Manchester.
Right. Okay. And does that work on the trains or is it just buses?
Trains, North End Ferry. Can they go to North End Ferry on it?
Right. Excellent. Okay, I'll come back to you in a minute, Mark, that's all right. I'm also here with Helen. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Helen, I believe you work here at Disability Equality?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, could you explain what kind of work you do?
Yeah, I'm the self-advocacy project worker here at Disability Equality Northwest. It's my main job to support the four Learning Disability Partnership Board reps on the Central Lancashire Partnership Board, which is a meeting that takes place once a month. It has lots of different people. It has people from social services, primary care trust, colleges, council. There's also the service user reps who sit on that board, and there's carers as well. And it's my job to support the service user reps on that board. That's my main part of my job.
Right. And can you explain a bit of what the partnership board is and what it does?
I say the partnership board used to be three separate meetings. Used to be Preston, Chorley and West Lancashire. Okay. It's now recently merged last month into one Central Lancashire Partnership Board. It's the Partnership Board's job to make sure that Valuing People Now is being followed. And Valuing People Now was a white paper that came out in 2002.
Alright, okay.
It was then followed by Valuing People Now in 2006. And basically their recommendations on how we can help people with a learning disability live their lives to the full.
Right, and so specifically aimed for people
with learning disabilities? Yes, specifically aimed for people with learning disabilities, yeah.
Right, okay. What kind of people attend the meeting?
As I say, we've got four service user reps from Preston who attend the meeting. Mm-hmm. There's also service user reps from Chorley and West Lancashire. Who are supported by their own worker in those areas. You've got people that come from the council, you've got community engagement officers whose job it is basically to handle the money and the funding.
Okay.
You've got people from social services that come along, you've got people who work with people with disabilities in colleges, all sorts of people really.
Right.
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2. The voice of the people, for the people, by the people.
Well, originally I was the co-chair of the Preston Partnership Board, as it was before. It went central, and then when it went central, I was co-chair of that.
Okay. Are you going to be co-chair for the whole year, or have they decided yet?
Well, I've just been co-chair for one, and then the next two meetings is going to be like West Lakes and Chorley.
Oh, so they're taking it a turn then, yes. Are they? And then what, after that, are you going to sort of elect a co-chair for the whole year?
Yeah.
Okay. And are you hoping to win that election?
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Right, okay. Excellent. And do you think people take notice of you in the partnership board?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what kind of issues are you talking about in the partnership board?
Talk. Last one was personalisation, next one's health and safety.
Right.
Each partnership board meeting is going to have a theme, whether it, I say, the last one we talked about personalisation, and then there's going to be health, and then they're going to touch on areas such as disability, hate crime, housing, employment, and these are all priorities set out by Valuing People now. Right.
So what do you mean by personalisation? What does that mean?
Personalisation is talking around direct budgets. If you've got a learning disability, what you can do is you can apply for a direct budget, and that basically means instead of going to day centres, which what would have happened 4 or 5 years ago, you just would have been placed in a day centre, you actually get control over your own budget, and you can then plan out your care package, so whether you use that to... I don't know, employ a PA, a personal assistant, to help you, or you can use it to go and do the activities you want to do, such as, I don't know, horse riding, swimming, clubbing, whatever you want, really.
Okay, so it sounds to me it's like you're giving you're not giving, basically people are taking charge of their own lives and their own responsibilities.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're, rather than... You know, Lancashire County Council turning around and saying, well, we're going to put you in a day service.
Right.
I say people are actually getting control over their own budgets, and they can decide how that money's spent to best suit those. And I know quite a few people on direct budgets that it's really, really worked for them. They've really, really thrived using a direct budget.
Excellent. Have you got a direct budget of your own, Mark?
No.
Is that something that you'd want?
Hopefully.
Right. So what's the process of getting a direct budget then?
The process itself can be a bit complicated. At the moment, what we're finding is they're really working for people who have a really strong family network around them. Because obviously handling money and handling is a complicated issue for anybody. So it'd just be a case of applying for your direct budget, and then you'd be interviewed by social services. Right. And they will make the decision whether you get and how much you get as well. Everybody doesn't get the same amount. Right. It depends on the individual and the individual needs. But obviously, a person on their own without that big support network, it can be very daunting and very difficult.
Right. We sort of mentioned hate crime. I'm going to be interviewing PC Rutledge. Mm-hmm. I believe he's the diversity police officer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Have you had any experience of hate crime?
Well, I've had an incident with my girlfriend but it's not so much hate crime, it's like help, mostly, because like in the streets you get cobbled.
Right.
Cobbled streets and grids aren't safe.
Yeah.
So like I caught her wearing in the wood in the whole grid.
All right.
Because she's in the wheelchair, and like because she went over, I went over on top.
Oh, okay,
of her.
Right. And did someone help you then, or?
Yeah.
Right.
The police were on duty.
Oh, it was a policeman, was it?
So, all the police were on duty, so the police flag came out and helped all the police.
Right.
And we were out there.
All right, excellent.
They all helped us.
Yeah.
They were willing to take us to hospital as well, but we said we were all right. So.
Right, well, that's good. Well, at least it shows the care, then that's good.
The medical model of disability. The medical model is presented as viewing disability as a problem of the person, directly caused by disease, trauma, or other health condition, which therefore requires sustained medical care, provided in the form of individual treatment by professionals. In the medical model, management of the disability is aimed at a cure, or the individual's adjustment and behavioral change that would lead to an almost cure, or effective cure. In the medical model, Medical care is viewed as the main issue, and at the political level, the principal response is that of modifying or reforming healthcare policy.
Helen, have you had any experiences indirectly or directly?
I mean, at the time, I didn't really realise that it could be classed as a hate crime. It'd be about 3 years ago now, just before I started working here, I had a Christmas job at one of the big department stores in Preston.
Right, okay.
Obviously, with me being an epileptic, as soon as I was appointed, I told the manager, I was very honest in my application form, because I do have seizures quite often. Then somehow the rest of the staff got to know, I have no idea how, I'm guessing somebody must have let it leak, and I was in the women's department putting clothes back on the rail. And there were two other members of staff talking, and they turned to me and went, "Why do we have to work with a spastic like you?"
Right, they use that word?
Yeah.
That's a really antiquated word.
It's a terrible, completely out of date,
yeah.
Totally out of date. I think it shows a lot of ignorance as well.
Yeah.
But I say I went to the manager and reported this, her opinion was it's my word against theirs.
Right.
I then went home that night, really upset, and talked to my husband, and he was basically like, "Well, you don't need to take that, you're not going back."
Right.
As I say, I didn't recognise it as a potential hate incident or hate crime at the time, even though it probably could have been classed as one.
Right.
I'll ask
PC Rutledge when I interview him exactly what a hate crime is, because it's quite a dark area.
There's a difference between a hate crime and a hate incident, and there's quite a grey area, but both are of equal importance, both need to be reported.
Right. Okay.
And we're actually here at Disability Equality, a lot of the staff have recently done training to become third party reporters, which means that rather than going to the police if somebody's suffered a hate crime, they can come into us and report it to us rather than going to the police.
Oh.
And then we will pass the information on to the police.
Okay, that's good. Is that sort of anonymous, or would you have to know details?
They can give details, or it can be anonymous.
Right.
I know it's, even if the hate crime is anonymous, it's still as equal importance that it's reported, because obviously the police want to keep a record of what's going on, and you know how often hate crime's happening and where it's happening.
Okay. I myself have been working with people with disabilities for quite a while now, and I don't like the word disabled. And I'm not sure how that fits in, because there's like two models, isn't there?
Yeah, there's the social model and the medical model for disability. The medical model is basically a person can't do something because they're disabled.
Right.
The person themselves is disabled.
Yeah.
And the medical model is basically saying they can't do this, they can't do that, they can't achieve that because they're disabled.
Mm-hmm.
The social model completely turns it on its head. The social model says, well, if a disabled person can't do that activity, it's the activity itself that's preventing the person from doing it.
Right.
So it's saying society's disabled rather than the person.
Okay, so saying that the person's made disabled by society itself.
Yeah, by society itself and society's barriers rather than the individual disability itself.
Right.
So it kind of turns the word on its head.
Okay. Right. Is there anything you'd like to say, Mark?
Same what you said, I don't like the word handicapped or spastic.
Right.
Because, like, I think the word handicapped is, like, a bit outdated, if you will.
Yeah, it used to be, I think it derived from India, didn't it, with people sitting on the street corners with a cap in the hand, and that's where the word handicapped came from, cap in hand, when they were begging,
And spastic is like
the term for cerebral palsy, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Term for cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
And when you get someone in a wheelchair, and someone speaking over you saying, like, "Are you right, you spazzo," or something like
that? Right.
can be really outdated.
Yes.
It's a completely out of date word, as a lot of them are. But I still believe in medical terms, the word spastic is still used in medical terminology.
There used to be a spastic society, didn't there?
Yeah.
And is that called scope now?
Yeah, that's called scope now, yeah.
Something interesting.
So the word, I'm hearing the words a lot less and less, so hopefully they will become very outdated and people will stop using them.
The social model of disability. The social model of disability sees the issue of disability as a socially created problem and a matter of the full integration of individuals into society. In this model, disability is not an attribute of an individual, but rather a complex collection of conditions, many of which are created by the social environment. Hence, the management of the problem requires social action and is the collective responsibility of society at large to make the environmental modifications necessary for the full participation of people with disabilities in all areas of social life. The issue is both cultural and ideological, requiring individual, community, and large-scale social change. From this perspective, equal access for someone with an impairment / disability is a human rights issue of major concern.
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2, the voice of the people.
I did a project with Moore Lane quite a while ago, and we were looking at like the history of disability in Preston. And a lot of the stuff for the early stuff was revolved around Whittacombe Hospital.
Yeah.
And I think that basically the crux of the idea was that if people didn't know what their illness was, like, i.e. they couldn't diagnose it, like dementia and things like this, which they can now, they just locked them away in Whittacombe.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me that some of these attitudes, they're still like really old attitudes. And
well, so my mum actually used to work in Whittacombe Hospital.
Oh, right.
In the wash-up, and my granddad, they used to live in the grounds of Whittacombe, because my granddad was the pig farmer.
Right.
In Whittacombe. So Whittacombe Hospital was totally self-sufficient.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my mum grew up there, basically.
Right.
In there. But I believe that there, in the 1950s, I mean, I say I've got epilepsy, but I believe in as early as the 1950s, 1960s, people were being locked up. In these institutions because they had epilepsy.
Yeah.
And I believe until the late 60s, if you were married to somebody and they had epilepsy, it was actually a legitimate reason to divorce them.
Oh, right. Well, that's a strange world we live in.
So yeah. I would have been deemed not fit to be in society, really, which is a bit frightening to think that it was only 40, 50 years ago.
Because they're sort of related to the devil and all this kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Strange stuff, isn't
it? Yeah, possessed. And right. I think a lot of it goes back to the Bible.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Bible, you know, somebody would have the shakes and would say they were possessed by the devil and possessed by an evil spirit, I think a lot of it. But again, it's fear and ignorance.
Right, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, I mean, we're coming up to the 22nd century soon, so maybe things will change. Do you think it's going to be more optimistic? Have you got more optimistic view for the future?
I don't know. I mean, like, it's getting there.
Yeah.
Slowly. Very slowly, in my opinion.
Right. Very slowly, yeah.
It is getting there. I mean, I've done some research into the history of disability as well, and gone into the like eugenics.
Yes.
And was very horrified to find that Winston Churchill, our Prime Minister during the war, thought that people with disabilities should be struck out from society.
Yeah.
I think the term he used was people with disabilities are holding society back, and you know, I think his views weren't that different from Hitler, really, who we were fighting at the time.
Well, their form of eugenics was you know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, wasn't
exactly,
it?
Yeah.
The perfect race.
Yeah. So a lot of influential people were part of that movement.
Yeah.
And I believe it still, to some extent, goes on today.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So, yeah, it's frightening to think that was only, 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
So when you think about that, we have come a long way, but there's still such a long way to go.
Yeah. But I think now, I mean, because the population obviously is getting bigger, we're sort of steady in about 60 million, but the people are living longer, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
So I think there's going to be more disabled people.
Well, that's it. I mean, you get some people saying again, you know, going back to eugenics, that, you know, people basically who were born with a disability should, well, should be left to, you know, left to die, really. And, you know, but it's like, so while we've got war and disease and a forever aging population, you're going to get disability.
Yeah.
You're not suddenly going to eradicate it by...
I mean, like, what gets me, you get people who don't have the disability.
Right.
It's more like kids as well.
Mm.
Like, I'm not knocking people up, but I think it's like the parents that don't educate the kids.
Yeah.
I don't think enough's done in schools to educate.
Well, I was just going to say that. Do you think that should be part of the curriculum?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly going through school had nothing, no education in disability issues at all.
Right.
I believe it is slowly coming onto the curriculum, but I think it needs to be taught at primary school level to get the message across, really.
Right.
And also, I'd like to make the point as well that disability is not, can happen to anyone.
Oh, yeah.
It's not something that, you know, you think, well, it's nothing to do with me, it can never happen to me or anyone that I'm close to, it can.
Yeah, I mean, stroke or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.